devil can distract us from our pursuit of God because we get more concerned with pleasing people than pleasing God.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Man, it is a great day. We're breaking our fast with some corn dogs. I think I'm like pumped with it, you know. Hopefully it's been an impressive 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I tell this to everybody, anytime we get done with prayer and fasting, we give you an opportunity to share your story. Because when you share your story, what you're doing is letting people know how God's moved and worked in your life. I think we kind of got comfortable with like, I don't want anybody to know my business. No, we let the church family know our business because it gives glory to God, right? So come on, so fill out that. There's a QR code. I just want to encourage you, do that because you're going to change a life. You're going to help someone step out of their comfort zone, meet Jesus, and celebrate in a way that only can be celebrated through the supernatural work of Jesus and his work in his life. Well, join me. We're looking at Psalms 105, verse 4. You can follow along on the screen. This is what the text reads. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Everybody say, seek him.
Seek him.
Look, I've been praying these past 21 days of prayer and fasting, and just we gathered yesterday here at 7 a.m., and it was cold, you know? Like, these past Saturdays, it's rained too, and it's been like the coldest it's been in 3 years. I'm like, come on, Lord. Like, you're testing a man of faith right now. So we're walking around, and you can imagine, Floridians in their cold attire is like a concoction. Like, Pastor Tim had, like, pink gloves. I'm like, come on, brother. Like, it's like all I got. Right? Like, we're not used to that. And so we're seeking him and we're praising him. In these past 21 days, I've been going through this just thought and process. And as we talk about the vision and the mission of this church, and we lean into what God is doing, I couldn't shake this word, pursue. That God, as God, what's this vision? What's this mission? What are you calling us to do? These past 21 days, it was anchored on, Blake, how are you going to pursue me? Like, how are you going to rally your family to pursue me? Like, as a church, as a community, The Breeze, how are we always going to pursue what God wants for us? So I think there's a lot of distractions and things in life that bring us sideways energy. But I think if there's a marker, when we look 100 years back from now, what matters is that we are people that are known for our continually seeking, searching, and pursuit of our Lord God Almighty. Can I get an amen, church? Come on. So what's it mean to pursue? Pursue is this, the act of seeking, striving for, or chasing something or someone with intention, effort, and determination. So today, we're going to be asking ourselves, what are we pursuing? What are we going after? What are some things that we're bringing all of our attention with an intentionality to say, I want to know God more? We always are pursuing something, right? Like, do I have anybody that really loves to, like, you circle that parking lot in pursuit of that close parking spot? I mean, you'll do laps like 4 times in a row. And I'm like, dude, park the car already, right? Like some of us, we take this endless pursuit of taking a perfect picture selfie and we're like this, and someone borrows your phone and they swipe it, they're like, there's a lot of weird pictures of you on here. And you're like, yeah, like I'm pursuing that perfect selfie, right? Or some of us in here, we spend a lot of our time pursuing things like food. Like you can't wait till Taco Bell gives you another free taco promo and you're like swiping up on the app and you're pursuing it. And you're like, nah, I just can't wait for these things to happen in life. See, we're always pursuing something. Maybe it gets a little bit more serious. Maybe it's love and relationships you're pursuing. Maybe it's purpose and meaning that you're in constant pursuit of. Maybe it's happiness and fulfillment. Maybe it's success and achievement, wealth and financial stability that you are saying, God, I got to lock in. I'm in pursuit. Maybe it's health and well-being, knowledge and personal growth. See, we're always in motion. Seeking something, pursuing something. So my question for us this morning, when it comes to these areas of pursuit in our life, are you pursuing God with the same desires that you're pursuing other areas in your life? Like in 2025, if you look back and you say, this is what I want to accomplish, this is what I want to focus on, would you say God is at the top of that list, your relationship, to draw closer to Him? Or would you say there's some things that you need to maybe kind of mix up a little bit in life because your pursuit of Him isn't like it should be or ought to be? Before we dive into how we can pursue, I want to talk to you about two barriers that disrupt our pursuit of God, or that bring sideways kind of energy to. The first one is this: pleasure. Epicurus was this Greek philosopher who believed that the purpose of life was to seek pleasure. Now, all of us know that void, if you go about what makes you feel good, what makes you happy, you know that tank can never be full. Like you try to do it with addiction, you try to do it with substances, you try to do it with hooking up, you try to hang out with people and get through life, and you're always looking for the next fix, the next high, the next fulfillment, the excitement, and the dopamine radar, and it keeps growing and growing in your mind. Because here's what God's word says in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. See, it's Jesus, He's speaking, that there's moments right now, if you're online, here in the house, you have a moment to respond to Jesus in your life, the gospel, the good news of what Jesus can do in your life. But so many of us, we get captured, mesmerized by the pleasures that we seek over the pursuit of God in our life. Question like, hey, are you, whatever's that vacation, whatever that scene that you're looking for, whatever's going on in life, are you pursuing God as much as you want to fulfill some of these pleasures in life? Another deterrent to our pursuit of God is people. It's people. How many of us know that we do a lot for people? Like we make a lot of decisions on behalf of people. If you're parents, you understand this. If you're married, you get it. If you're dating, next week I want to encourage you, join us. We're in a relationship series. We're kicking off next week. We're going to be talking about a lot of fun stuff, if you know what I'm saying. But people can distract us from our pursuit of God because we get more concerned with pleasing people than pleasing God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul put it this way: obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. That there's going to be people in your life that you cannot please. There's going to be people in life you're going to disappoint. When you take up the cross and you follow Jesus like He's calling you to follow Him. And you have to be okay with that. But see, a lot of us, we want to pursue these pleasures, we want to pursue relationships, and in the meantime, it's kind of like, God, we'll kind of slot you down here when it comes to my pursuit of you. So the remainder of our time, I want us to point us to this passage of Scripture known in Mark chapter 5. It's an important passage because in all three synoptic Gospels, it's fascinating. Whenever you see a story once in Scripture, it's important. Whenever you see it three times in this, you better lock in. So in Mark chapter 5, giving you a little background on what's taking place, is Jesus just basically gets run out of town in this eastern region of the Sea of Galilee, where He shows up. He casts this demon out of this man in this tomb. And people were mesmerized but then scared because Jesus handled this man who was filled with scholars believe, about 1,000 different evil spirits. So this was a bad dude. So I don't know about you, but if someone shows up to my town and does something that's beneficial to my town, I would be like, man, that's the next, like, Superman. That's the hero. Like, we want more of that guy because he handled this crazy guy out here in the tombs that would kill, that would murder, that would do all this wickedness. And yet these people, they see Jesus and they're like, no, we don't want that guy. No, get rid of that guy. Jesus, you got to go. And so what Jesus does, He goes, I'm going to oblige to that. I will leave your area. So that's important for us to understand. Jesus cares so much for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's not going to overpower you. He's not going to get you in a stranglehold and say, I want to make you love me. He's going to say, hey, here I am. Receive me, accept me, acknowledge me, love me, because I receive you, I accept you, I acknowledge you, and I love you. But if you don't want me, I'll keep going. And I think for many people, we need to be receptive and understand, like, Jesus wants us. Do you want to pursue and seek him and his strength? So then Jesus, he travels across the sea and he lands here. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, this is where we'll pick up our story. Join me. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, everybody say came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying, please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. So you have one crowd that says, Jesus, we don't want you, and then you have one man who says, I'm going to show up, Jesus, I'm going to come and seek you. Now, what's important about this story, and when we look at this story, is that you see this man who is from a unique side. He's known as a scholar or a synagogue leader. He was a person of stature. He was known in the community. He was a leader for the religious individuals in the town. People looked up to him. There was wealth, there was stature, there was popularity associated with Jairus. And here's the thing, no matter how wealthy you might be, no matter how successful you might be, no matter what kind of privilege you might have in this life, you still need Jesus. And then we look at this lady on the other side of the track. She doesn't have the popularity, and this is where we pick up Mark chapter 5, verse 25. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there and had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came, everybody say, came, up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And here's what I want us to capture with that. You can be in your most difficult, destitute, deprived scenario right now in your life, and you need Jesus. So we have two extremes in the story. You have this man who's put together. You have this woman who's broken and missing things and struggling with physical ailment. She was excommunicated from society. The religious elite, she couldn't abide by the customs and the rituals to enter the temple. She was considered unclean. So you have the lowest of the lows, highest of the highs, and everybody in between. We all need to live in pursuit of Jesus, right? Church, can I get an amen on that? No one is above it. No one is below it. We need Jesus. So let's talk three realities for us today. How to keep the pursuit. How to keep the pursuit. How to make it the pursuit. Make it all about Jesus. Start here. Let's make it all about Jesus. Make life about Jesus. Make your family life about Jesus. Make your conversations about Jesus. Make it about Jesus. See, there always will be a fight for that first slot in your life. Always will be. You'll never arrive and say, oh, Jesus, by coincidence, you're number one. There'll always be a financial pressure. There'll always be a relationship. There'll always be something that is fighting for position number one in your life. So the question you got to ask, are you going to fend off those areas and say, Jesus, I'm going to continue to make you number one? I don't know if you're like me, but how many of us, you know, when I look at Sunday, psychologically in my mind, I look at it as like the end of the week. You know, I was going through the calendar this week, and I was like, Sunday's actually the beginning of the week, right? Sunday is the first day of the week. Maybe I'm just the only one who kind of thinks like this, but it's not like I'm looking forward to the week, and it's like Sunday, first day of the week. That means what do? We kick off our week with Jesus and gathering of the saints. And it's this acknowledgement that Jesus is the priority. I'm reminded of the story of this man by the name of William Tyndale. Many of us know him because he was known and attributed to writing the Bible for us, common folk, people who needed God's word in English. Well, he would eventually be in prison, he would eventually get strangled, and then he would be burned at the stake. One particular time in Tyndale's life, he started this endeavor to translate the Bible in English, and he approached the Bishop of England and asked for permission. He went to his authority and asked, and the bishop refused, believing that it was heresy that he would even embark on that endeavor. And in other words, the religious, mighty people wanted to be able to be the ones that called the shots. Well, Tyndale would end up leaving England in 1524, moving to Europe, which would begin this nomadic lifestyle where he'd be ran out of town, ran from villages, as he would be in the process of translating the Bible so people could read God's word. See, when we make it all about Jesus, I want to be very clear, it's not going to align with a lot of other people's thoughts in life. People are going to challenge you. People are going to question you. People are going to mock you. People are going to laugh at you. We'll see that the story, but we've got to make it all about Jesus. See, this woman, she saw expert scripture says. She spent money. She would do all sorts of unique things. In fact, there's 11 possibilities of the Jewish Talmud of the way these kind of, hopeful ways that would work. And for instance, this lady probably tried these kind of things according to her Jewish custom and culture is carry ashes of an ostrich egg. Hopefully, it would have healed her bleeding. Now, if you went to a doctor and they said, hey, I got maybe a suggestion to you, go get some chickens, find the eggs, make ashes, walk around, you're going to be healed of you losing hair. Some of us would be like, dude, I'll give anything a shot, you know, like. But we'd be like, that's ridiculous, man, that doesn't make sense. But this lady was so desperate that scholars believe that she would give this a shot. Or here's another one that if she would find a barley corn from donkey's dung, and carried it, that this could heal her issue. Like she's paying for all these crazy issues. She's praying for the remedies in her life. She was so desperate in her life. She comes to the point, she's like, I got to make it about Jesus. See, I want us to capture this. There's things that only Jesus can handle in your life. There's things that Jesus is the only solution in your life. You can see this. You can still see the therapist, still have the mental struggles. You can see the doctor, still have the physical anguish. You can talk to your boss, still have the work issues. You can go to a counselor, still have the marriage problems. You can yell at the kids, and you can scream at the kids, and still have problems raising your children. Why? Because there's some things in life that could only be remedied by Jesus in your life. Then you look at Jairus. He had an issue. His daughter was dying. Lady, 12-year issue of bleeding. Daughter, 12 years age, dying. And look how Jairus placed Jesus first. Mark 5:22, verse 23. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. He pursued Jesus. He sought Jesus. He didn't care about stature. Didn't care about what people thought. He would think that the people part of the synagogue would be like, this guy, he's going to follow Jesus. That would have been considered heresy then. He would have lost community stature. And look what he does. He fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with my little daughter dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. Jairus, if you're taking notes, this is what he placed God first by responding, worshiping, and praying. Matthew's account says that the Greek synonym would the Greek language would say that he worshiped Jesus. He made him first. They both knew Jesus was their only hope. My friends, the greatest thing you come to is understand that Jesus is your only hope. What I love about our church is many people understand that, We know that Jesus is our only hope. This past year in 2024, we had 105 people who attended Culture Course, which is our first step. Next week, we start another step one, step two, step three. Every Sunday, I'm going to join you. If you're looking for a church home, Culture Course is the place to start. Out of those 105 people, we had 93 people complete all three steps. Come on. And our legacy offering this past year, we had $105,000 committed in our legacy offering that helps accelerate the mission and ministry of this church. We had 88 people in 2024 get baptized. We had baptisms today. Come on now. We're believing that for more. We always ask people whenever they're making it all about Jesus. You know, baptism is one of my favorite Sundays. I get a little more like, yeah, pep in my step. I can't wait. I'm excited, like moving and grooving. Because it's awesome people going public with their faith. So we ask people, hey, submit how Jesus has worked in your life. Submit a story and the way that God's led you from where you were. And the story was submitted by my friend Faith. And I had the privilege of baptizing her this morning. And I'll be honest with you, when I read it, my heart broke. It cried and celebrated. But I would love to read what she submitted. Growing up, my mom struggled with drug addiction. It consumed her life. Even through those struggles, she always taught me the importance of a relationship with God. She always taught me to follow His plans and have faith no matter what. In 2017, she decided she was going to get sober. And by 2018, she was going to give her first sermon to a sober living group helping other women who are struggling and find God, which was her dream. She showed me what serving a higher purpose really meant. However, in 2019, my mom was murdered in a tragic murder-suicide by a man she met on a Christian dating site. It's safe to say that I lost my faith in the Lord after that. I lost my way. Years of mistakes, sinning, and choosing the wrong path repeatedly would follow after that. Somehow earlier this year, I found myself at rock bottom, and I realized exactly where I went wrong. I lost my faith in the Lord. None of the mistakes I had made ever compared to that. I realized that God was a plan for me and that I was not serving my higher purpose, which is not what my mom would have wanted for me. So I have spent my time and put effort to connect and reconnect with God. And today, I am at a better place than I have ever been. And I'm working to figure out why God put me here. I've decided that I'm ready to leave behind my past trauma, leave behind my past sadness, and my sin, and look forward to the future, the peace, the faithfulness, and fullness that God has brought. She made a decision to get baptized today. Come on. Make it all about Jesus. So keep the pursuit alive. Make it all about Jesus. Second, ignore distractions. Ignore distractions. You'll always have people, issues, scenarios that will bring about distraction. I like how someone put distraction. It's the art of turning a 2-minute task into a 2-hour adventure. Anybody been there? Studies have distraction. When you get distracted, when you're in this zone, when you're locked in, it takes you 23 minutes to get back once you've been distracted. There's this Zernarik effect that you can stay up late, super late at night, tossing and turning because you didn't get what you wanted done completed. My pastoral team, they're a bunch of fun guys. I love them all. Well, depends what day of the week I love them all. But they'll come in, they'll pop off a confetti cannon, love you, Pastor Blake, and I'll be like, oh, this is awesome, guys. Or I'm kind of the innocent bystander, just loving people, and they come and pick on me quite a bit. Well, this one particular pastor, I won't mention his name, puts a chirping cricket mechanism in my office. Now, they're small, and they chirp really loud. Well, when you're a guy who studies in complete silence, I can't have music, I can't have anything, even a flickering of a candle can bother me at times because I'll be like, hey, squirrel, and then I'll be off to the races. Well, this one particular time, I'm like, I'm going to find this thing, I'm not going to say a word to them, I'm going to squelch this little joke that they're doing. Well, about after a week of searching everywhere in my office, like it would chirp and I would think it'd be across the way. I'm like looking and removing books. I couldn't find it. Finally, I got to a point where I said, guys, if you don't find that chirping mechanism out of my office, I'm withholding your pay. Seriously, no, it's executive action. I told our bookkeeper, I said, you're not paying these guys. It's been a brutal week for me. And I had their check, so you can come fine. You can come get your check when this gets out of my office. So they come in, they take the light fixture down, like, dude, you guys are dirty. You know, and they like come back. Distractions, there's things, there's little things, there's big things that can always distract us. You know, you look at the story of this taking place and what's happening, there's distractions all over. You have work distractions, family distractions, sickness distractions, vacations, money, opportunities, always distractions. But when it comes to your pursuit of God, you want to keep it alive, you got to be centrally locked. You got to be focused. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Colossians 3:20, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. What are you telling your mind? What are you focusing about? Are you saying, Lord, I just want to think of eternity. I want to think of those who are lost. I want to pray. I want to seek you. I want to pursue you. I want to know you more. Or are you so consumed with, how do I get the promotion? How do I find that right date? How do I plan that right date? How do I get along with life? How do I do X, Y, and Z? When really you should be so consumed with pleasing God and Him in your life. See, Jairus and this woman, both ends of the track, both had this one thing. They came to Jesus. They saw Jesus. They were focused on Jesus. They needed the hope of Jesus in their life. Jairus, he ignored his privilege as a synagogue leader. He ignored his status. He ignored his money. He ignored people's thoughts. He didn't care about the popular vote. He was focused on Jesus. The woman who walks through the crowd, she ignored her status, her lack thereof, her excommunication, people's thoughts, her less than stature, and she just wanted to touch Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. As a church, we fix our eyes on Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, here I want us to capture taking notes. Avoid distractions by fixing your eyes on Jesus. What's distracting you from pursuing Jesus this morning? And then our last reality is this. You have to live by faith. It's a little detail in both of these individual stories that sometimes gets overlooked by this healing of by this miracle of healing. Verse 29, verse 34, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She touches Jesus' garment and she's freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding you. One of, this is Peter, he says to the disciples, how can we know that everybody's touching you, Jesus? And yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, this moment of worship, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed of your suffering. It was her faith in Jesus that changed everything. It was her faith that helped her pursue. You know, I read this text and I go, God, there's some things that I feel like I'm a man of faith, but God, I get nervous about some things. I struggle with some things. And I look back in past 2024, what God's done at our church. Not only have we seen the most baptisms, we've led our church to a significant change, to a name change. People have left church, people have not even known about the scenario and different things, and we felt as a church board, church leadership, church staff, that if we want to reach more people in this digital climate, in this digital age, we need some differentiation. So as a church, business 2024, unanimously, a couple hundred people met in the room right to my left, your right, and said, we want to do what's best for reaching people. We changed the name of a 90-year-old church. We replaced 20-year-old chairs, and now we get a little more cushy to keep you up or help you fall asleep a little bit more. We launched the Suncoast Initiative in 2024. We received our biggest offerings for missions, and it's helped accelerate our ministry, and even we've seen our church budget grow. We started the painting on our building, and you can see, and some of us are like, I don't like the color scheme. And I'm like, hey, it's not for everybody, but what's really going to be exciting is we're going to put the name of our church on our building. Like all the stuff, all of the regulations and permitting has changed around the area, so we're allowed to do that. So be able to drive by and say, that's a church. Like, yeah, there's hundreds of encounters that I've had with people that have come here and who go to Bayshore Elementary, and they're like, we didn't even know that was a church. Well, we're going to mark ourselves the Breeze Church on the outside, big letters, that you can see it's our church. And I say, well, God, like, that's great. Like, we're doing some of these things. It's housekeeping things. It's not vision-esque. And I wrestled with a little bit of that. But I started looking at some projects, what I call the beyond projects, of what we have to do to extend our reach. I call these house essentials. We're on septic. Eventually, we're going to be pushing forward, and we're going to have to get on the sewer. That's going to be a hefty project, not a beautiful project, right? Like, no one's like, yes, can't wait to do that. But we got to get it done so we can continue to build out our land, so we can continue to see what God has in next. We're going to be redoing our bathrooms. We're going to be updating our kids' space and our youth space. We're going to be redoing the parking lot, resurfacing it. We're going to be creating and establishing a studio. Why? So we can get more Bible teaching out there from Southwest Florida. My prayer, my hope, my vision for this church is to create a church planting residency where guys can come here, people can come here, ladies can come here, they can be trained, we can go and send and support and let people know Jesus in a radical way. The greatest way for people to meet Jesus is by a new church being established in one's community. Like, I love people that transfer and come from different churches. I love all people, but nothing is more exciting than someone who's come from not knowing Jesus to then knowing Jesus. My hope is to give one day, while I'm here as lead pastor, give $1 million in missions. Right now, roughly around $230,000, $240,000 annually in missions. That's great. That's awesome. But $1 million, can you imagine what God's going to do with $1 million going to missions? More churches, more missions. I want when someone calls me up, I'm a missionary, Pastor Blake, I want to say, yeah, let's support you. Launch a campus, add more services. Get more people involved in support groups. Man, there, church, we have a vision here that, I'll be honest with you, scares me. I look up and I'm like, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how we're going to do this. But I want faith. I want to believe that with you, all things are impossible. Keep me encouraged. Keep you encouraged. I don't know what belief in your life that you need to say, God, I just need to believe for you. God, I just need you. God, you do your work. You look later on in the story. So Jesus encouraged this woman, just believe. Just believe. It's your faith that saw this through. And Jairus, you can just imagine, he's saying, hey, Jesus, you need to come with me. My daughter, she's dead. Like, come, Jesus. Gets an interruption. But while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and give him this news. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing this conversation, Jesus is in this crowd talking with people. Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. How many of us, we get so locked down and weighted, it doesn't make sense in our natural. But if I can just say, God, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm just going to believe. God, I'm going to believe for my family. I'm going to believe for my adult children. I'm going to believe for my marriage. I'm going to believe on the hurts and pains that I've dealt with these past 30 years. I'm going to believe that you can heal me internally and inside. Here, my friends, I want us to capture this. While faith that is louder than the crowd is a faith that will see miracles. Don't let that pleasure of what culture impedes on your life be louder than the voice of God. Don't let people who are in your life be louder than the voice of God. And to cap it all off, I love this. It's just encouraging, reminds me when I think of the vision for our church, the mission of our church. But all the people, but they laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with them, Peter, James, and John, and went to this where this child was. And he took her by the hand and said, Talith kolom, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and they were all completely astonished. My hope, my prayer for us is that our God leaves our community, those around us, completely astonished by the work that he's doing right here at 7101 Bayshore Road. Let's go, church. Come on.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.